Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Our gospel lesson for this week is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. The seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought them forth again, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what is sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Here ends our gospel lesson.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 3 summers ago, my wife Jen bought 2 tree sprouts over in Plains, the town just west of Ronan. They were on sale, and I think that we only spent about $15 on the pair of them. This is a great deal for 2 trees already sprouted. The only hitch was that they were barely sprouted. The 2 shoots were not even 1 foot tall and had no leaves yet. Unlike the young trees that you see hauled out from nurseries with established root systems that make sure the younglings can easily take root in new ground, these 2 shoots had a long way to go before they would be deemed viable by anyone with a green thumb. Of course, neither of us had raised a tree before, nor were we inclined to regularly water our own lawn or nurture any sorts of flowers or plants very well at all at that time. Living in dormitories and apartments for our first years of marriage certainly did not equip us with gardening skills. In spite of our amateur approaches to the soil and the shade trees that we desired to grow from it, we planted those 2 tree shoots anyway. I mean, they're only $15, right? What do we have to lose? With anticipation that these 2 younglings would take root quickly and blossom easily in the Montana summer sun, we dug small holes and planted 1 of the trees in the front of the parsonage and 1 of the trees in the back next to the deck. We were eager for more shade in those areas of the yard, even though we realized that it would be a long time coming, and looked forward to when these trees would rise high enough to get the job done. For my part, as a Lutheran pastor, I also reveled in the opportunity to engage 1 of the most famous quotes attributed to Martin Luther. He reportedly wrote, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." Though there is much doubt on whether or not Luther actually said these words or wrote this, I like to believe that he would agree with them and agree with this powerful saying, even if he didn't, if it didn't originate from him. The idea that the world is worth caring for, cultivating, and investing in, even if we do not personally benefit from our efforts. Even if I were never to benefit from the shade of these young tree shoots personally, I was profoundly moved by the idea that I could plant something that would take root in Ronan during my call here. So, with these two young tree shoots in the ground, we watered a little bit and waited. Surprisingly, the one in the back grew quickly and wonderfully. It blossomed leaves and grew another foot before the air started freezing and frosting over. We were elated at its progress. The one in the front, on the other hand, seemed to be fully dead on arrival. It did not grow, it did not bud, it did not do much of anything at all. By the end of that first summer and fall, it had sprouted a couple of odd leaves at the ground level, but that was about it. The tree we were hoping would take off quickly and provide us with shade at our dining table window on hot summer days seemed to be a complete failure to launch. While the world did not go to pieces, our plans for a tree in the front yard certainly seemed to. Well, the next summer was a little different, but not much. The tree in the back continued its march upward, and while its trunk lengthened and strengthened, and its branches spread wider and higher. The shoot in the front continued its stubborn resistance, though it did have a couple of shoots pop out alongside of it. These seemed to us at first a wonderful sign that this tree was more like Lazarus than we had imagined. It was not dead after all, but had life inside that we failed to recognize. Then we were informed that these other offshoots were actually competing with the main stem for water, sunlight, and impeding the growth of the whole thing. Much as happens for we humans, when these shoots competed with one another for what little abundance there was and what little abundance the world could give them, they just made each other weaker. So, we cut off the other offshoots, and I'm happy to report that after 3 years, our little tree in the front yard of the parsonage is finally off to the races. It has grown a few feet, has a full complement of leaves and branches for photosynthesis, and seems to be growing quite well, at least compared to its gloomy start. I suppose that good things come to trees that wait. I share this story to say that things do not always take root and grow like you might expect. In the parable of the sower that we heard from our gospel lesson for this week, similar things are going on. Now, in my experience of trying to nurture two different trees to life, sustainability and vibrancy, the difference between them was not the soil that they were taking root in, but in the plants themselves. In Jesus' parable, it is the other way around. He describes seeds sown on a well-worn path, rocky soil, thorny soil, and good soil. The seeds sown on the path basically have no chance to take root and are eaten by the birds right away. Nothing much happens with those. The experience of the rocky soil and the thorny ground are similar with some minor differences. They are similar in the fact that the word blossoms in them upon hearing it. In the rocky soil, though, the growth that the word inspires has no root, and so trouble or persecution quickly bears that one's faith away. The faith that grows from the thorny soil does have root, But the cares and distractions of the world choke it out from above and from the outside, and it also withers in quick fashion. The good soil, on the other hand, is the person that hears the word of God, trusts in the Lord's promises, and is safe from the competing desires of the world, the stresses of life's trials, and all the things that would seek to uproot it from its faith in our benevolent God. The good news, speaking through these stories to me this week, is highlighted in a couple of aspects of them. But first off, and at first glance, it would seem a little ridiculous that the proverbial sower would even try to get things to sprout where he did. Who tries to plant grain among weeds and rocks and walking paths? I know it's a little different, but I doubt any of us that would try to grow wheat on Highway 93 out in the middle of 93 that goes through Ronan and our whole valley. The walking path was basically the ancient equivalent. So why would the sower even attempt to get stuff to grow there? Well, since it is a parable, we should not get too bogged down in these details. However, I hope that we can see that the one sowing the word of God shares it with all types of soil, whether it might take root or not. The sower in the story does not judge, prejudge, discriminate, or in any way limit what kind of soil might receive the word. The word of God, which brings forth life, is shared with all people, everywhere, no matter what, whether it will bear fruit or not. Now, this is pretty powerful stuff when you think about it. It would be a lot more efficient and less costly for the sower to just seek out the good soil and plant the word there. Instead, the sower, who is a reference to the apostles and perhaps even to Christ himself, shared the good news of God's salvation with everyone they encountered, no matter their race and nationality, their language, or whatever their occupations might be. Even the rocky path is to be given the word of God. Now, the other thing that stands out to me in these stories is that we do not know when or how faith will grow. The sower scattered the seeds indiscriminately, and the seeds simply took root where they could. It wasn't very targeted, oh, you grow now, anything like that. One of the trees flourished in our yard while the other languished. Just as it is predictable when, where, and how the seeds of our faith will fall in our lives, so it is unpredictable when, where, and how they will take root and grow. As with anything unknown, this can be disconcerting. But I hope that we can recognize that our faith is meant to surprise us when it grows and when it flourishes. It is not a constant that is easily measured and is never tested or has to endure the elements or anything like that. Instead, our faith is something that shoots up from the soil when we least expect it. And when it does, it is something to be nurtured and cared for. After all, the good soil is known by the fruit, the faith that blooms out of it, not the other way around. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor.